Hello, everyone. Welcome on back to the Warhammer 40K segment of the Wide World of Wargaming. Joining me, your host, Vincent Morgado, as usual, Alexander Gonzalez and Michael Schwartz.
Good evening, everyone.
Howdy. And we are lucky enough to be joined for the very first time by our Lord and Master, Rhys Robbins.
Bow, mortals.
We are not worthy.
We are not worthy. Thank you, Schwartz.
Get it together, people. Get it together.
Get it together. We're all going to have to be on our best behavior today, especially you two with some of the jokes you make.
I'm fine. I'm cool.
What?
Chills.
Yeah.
All right. So we are lucky enough to have the gentleman on tonight. And as we are on the clock, let's go ahead and just get right to some of the stuff we wanted to talk about. The big news recently, the change in scoring. Single faction. The way I understand it now from overhearing is excluding reinforcement points. What brought that about, Rhys? What do you expect to be the fallout from that?
So the change in the way the ITC scores best in faction awards, which can we kind of take a step back and you look at it objectively, it's strange that so many people will get so worked up about it because it's...
I actually really agree with you on that.
It's such a relatively minor thing, but when you look at it from the perspective of the average person playing in the ITC is not playing to win at all, they're playing to be the best with their faction. That's the most common goal people have in the ITC. And one of the biggest points of feedback we got at the end of the season, when we sent out the questionnaire, like, what did you like? What did you not like? What would you change? The number one thing that people complained about was it's too hard to score points against Eldar. And we're like, yeah, fair enough. And so we added in a mission that's basically the, like, score points against Eldar mission.
It's the fuck Eldar mission?
Yeah, more or less. And I say that as an avid Eldar player myself.
It's world just, famous Footnar player back in the day, right?
Yeah, and it's just fair because Eldar don't usually take more than two of any kind of unit except for troops. So it was really hard to score points on them. And then the second most common point of feedback was I don't like competing against soup armies in my hunt to be the best space wolf player or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I kind of dismissed it at first. I was like, eh. And then I started doing some research and talking to people. I'm like, is this really an issue? And the more I dug into it, the more I realized how big of a deal it was to people. And we decided after much debate to actually put it to a vote. And then as you see in the result of the vote, it's a blowout. It's like,
yeah,
not even, it's like 5-1 or something ratio of people that want it, or 4-1 who want best in faction to only go to people who play out of that book, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, I as someone who is most of his 40K career, whatever I have accomplished, played faction pure, or at least tried to, there is a point where you're kind of playing with one arm tied behind your back and kneecaps to a certain point if you're not playing a full-on, you know, soup list. And I can definitely sympathize with a lot of guys who felt that way. Alex, you've done the same thing. I wasn't going to say with Necrons, but you played pure Chaos Marines for a long time.
Yeah, way back in the day. But yeah, I'm a masochist.
I play more with Necrons.
I play Necrons, so not only am I forced to play mono faction from the get-go, but to crappy army that needs a complete rework of their game mechanics. So, you know, it is what it is.
Now, Schwartz, you are an unabashed soup player. With great success, I will grant you. What way did you vote, if you're willing to let everyone know?
Honestly, I voted to keep the system as it was.
Of course you did.
What? I like the Imperial soup. It's so fluffy. But fine. But honestly, it surprised me to see such a lopsided vote. So democracy wins. I'm going to adapt. I'm already building up a Space Marine Brigade list, very similar to Reese's, but Raven Guard. And we'll see how that goes.
Ultimately, when you look at it, it's such a landslide. It's like not even remotely close. If we didn't do it, it would be super disingenuous. Like, we had to move on it. I wish we could have done it at the beginning of the season. People who are like, I didn't get a chance to play any events. People have already racked up some points. I don't think it's fair. That's a legitimate complaint. But it was like the lesser of two evils. We either wait a year to do it at the beginning of the next season, which clearly is not what everybody wants to do, or we bite the bullet and we do it now. And yes, it sucks for some people that feel like they didn't have a to compete on even terms because they didn't get to go to any events. But it's that's bumming out less people than if we did the other option, right? And so, yeah, the other thing too is, like, I'm trying to explain to people is if you want to compete with the list that you've been playing, just keep playing your soup list. You're going to be competing in a different category. It's going to be a more prestigious category because it's going to be much bigger. And it's, don't change what you're doing. Just keep playing the army that you like and compete for the soup award. Or if the best in faction is super important to you, bite the bullet and you're going to be playing book to book. And it's going to be fair between you and all the other people who are like our buddy Gordy, who's a diehard Grey Knight player.
Gordon the Destroyer.
Yeah, only plays Grey Knights. And then at the end of the year when he's like, man, I slugged it out. I did it. I got like middle of the pack and I went in there. Who won best Grey Knights? Oh, a guy with 650 points of Grey Knights, a Castellan and guard. He's like, what the fuck? You know, like, he's like, that guy's not a Grey Knight player. What the hell is this shit? You know, like, and that's a legitimate complaint.
I mean,
no, 100%, 100%.
Not to take away from AOS, but you've essentially created, you haven't taken away anything from the game. All you've done is added the Grand Alliance factions, essentially, for lack of a better word, towards 40K by creating these soup factions that people can compete with. So it's a it's a good win for everyone. Like, as you mentioned, soup players are going to be competing for best Imperium or best Chaos, and their diehards are going to be competing for best Eldar Corsairs. Is that still a thing, by the way? Is there anyone
still playing Corsairs? You can actually make a Corsairs army. It's just kind of goofy.
Okay.
But yeah, like, now it's like for the Grey Knight players or Blood Angels or whatever, right? Like, fill in the blank. You're going to be competing against people that are the same, that feel the same way about the game as you do. Like, they're diehard. They love it. They're playing only Blood Angels, whatever the case may be. And now it's a fair competition.
Yeah.
You're not getting your award taken by somebody who just took the bare minimum amount of points to dip their toe into the water and to get that trophy, right? It's going to make those people happy, right? Those are the casual competitive crowd who are by far the biggest part of the ITC community. And that's giving them what they want, which is exactly what we're here to do.
I concur.
Reese, is there any chance that we might see Frontline or any other major group maybe run a book-on-book only major?
I don't know if there's a customer base for it, but I 100% could be wrong. Like, the No Retreat, the awesome event in Gibraltar, they ran only pure factions, and their event is a little different. It's invitational. I think actually this was an open, but they sold out, and Gibraltar is at the bottom of Spain, right? It's not easy to get to, and they sold it out, pure faction. You have to send in pictures of your army in advance. They have to approve it. Like, it has to be you. Oh, dude, this event is so cool, dude. The invitational you get sent, like, this crazy, it's like getting a golden ticket to go to Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. Like, it's a scroll and it opens up and it's all like hand. It's insane. And the standard they set for painting is like, your army has to be gorgeous or you can't even come in the door.
Like, do they have people judging your stuff before you show and they'll literally send you back?
Oh, yeah. No, like, you have to, like, send pictures. Wow. To my knowledge, I could be wrong, but, like, in my conversations with Steven, the guy who runs it, that's the way they do it. They have to look at your army and go, like, okay, this is acceptable for our standards. And every single one of their tables is, like, a work of art. They're gorgeous. So maybe that's proof of concept. Maybe that shows that you could do a pure faction on faction and hit major status. I don't know. It's so risky to run an event that you want it to make it inclusive so that you don't lose your ass. But I think, I don't know. You probably could.
Or even just a GT, like, a, you know, if you were even aiming lower, like a GT, a 40, 50 player event instead of, you know, upwards of, how many does it take for a major now? I don't even 60. Remember.
It's 58.
Oh, my right?
bad. Yeah, well, it's because what we did is we took 64 and then we accounted for normal attrition. So we bumped it down to 58. Yeah. And that's why a GT is not 32, it's 28 because it accounts for attrition.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we actually, I think Alex was about to go this way, but I'm going to cut him off. Huh. We actually covered the results of the Gibraltar tournament last week, and it was kind of an interesting result, including the guy that we now collectively refer to as Uncle Boris, who I guess is kind of a terror of Europe if you look at his results with his Drukhari. That's an interesting army to be winning book on book, don't you think?
True. I think Drukhari are one of the top three strongest single codex factions, and especially in an environment where they're playing against other single codex factions. I think Drukhari, I would put my money on Drukhari to be a favorite in that environment. Astra Militarum, Drukhari, they're going to do really well, I think, in that environment because they have a lot of
tools. Would you put orcs up there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, orcs are – I mean, the numbers speak for themselves, right? Like the orcs already – they're kicking ass in any environment.
Specifically orcs with a shock attack gun, which is still the greatest thing ever invented in 40K.
That thing is so overpowered for how much you pay for the model.
Truly.
We mentioned it last week, and I want to bring it up again. You may be aware of this, but there is actually a marked percentage difference in victories between orc armies that bring one and orc armies that don't. A single model with a single weapon has that much effect on the outcome of a game.
He can blow a knight up in one shot. It's absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can.
The damage output on that is ridiculous if you get hot dice.
Yeah, it's so swingy. Like, it's either a miracle worker or just a total piece of crap, right? Like,
just why did I invest the points in this? I'm going to regret this for the next three rounds.
The points are cheap enough that it accounts for the swinginess, I would think, Vince. Every single time it fails you, there's going to be two times where it's just like, yes, this was such a bargain.
The return on investment on that thing the potential is insane, right? More than any other model in the game.
Wow. In the game?
Oh, yeah. For what you can remove from the table for the what you paid, I can't think of any other ratio that's skewed as much as the shock attack
guy. Maybe a smash captain when the Castellans had just come out, a BAO last year where they were 129 and they could take out a 600 point model pretty easily because people hadn't figured them out. But that's the only thing else that comes to mind.
Yeah, I think that's one of the other few other, and then maybe a Vindicare. If you have red hot dice and your opponent has a shit ton of characters and leaves them in the open, right?
Like Gene's the only thing I think
of. Yeah. Like if you keep rolling sixes on that Vindicare, you're just going to start removing models.
Right.
Which is one of the things that I keep telling myself I'm going to do, but I know better having played Vindicares for so many years that without Gulliman, I will just throw nothing but ones.
Oh, yeah. And I then do we know. Time.
Isn't it the worst? Like, is there anything more annoying than a one specifically on a Vindicare?
Yeah, in my at the tournament at Broadside Bash this last weekend, I took him in three games as my summoned assassin, and in every single freaking game, I would like first three shots one. I'm like, God, you bastard.
At one point, I was running a list back in 7th that had, I think I was running 8 assassins, and the majority of them were Vindicares. And even then, I was missing more shots than I was hitting. It got so bad, I just lost my mind.
Yeah, people, like, everyone thinks he's the best assassin, and he's not. The Calidus is easily the best.
Really? Even better than the Blender?
The Calidus.
Just looking at raw stats, the Eversor looks so good.
The Eversor's they're all amazing, right? But like, the Calidus is, in my opinion, is easily the most reliable, the best of the four to take. Like, in my list, the assassin that I took was the Calidus, and then I summoned one in. And a lot of times I'll just take another Calidus because they're that good.
Just for the game, just for the overall game effect, like the CP point denial?
The CP denial is just icing on the cake. The best part about it is that it's almost impossible to screen her out. She comes down, you roll, it's 9 minus D6. So if you roll 6, you're like, oh, I come in 3 inches away from you. Your screens are meaningless, and she's extremely good at reliably killing squishy characters, which are critical to most lists. Like, you know, the guard company commander with the grand strategist, she will almost always kill him in one go, right? Like, I played Drukhari at the tournament. She killed three Archons.
Oof.
Like, with ease. Wow. She was just like dead, dead, dead.
Well, the ability to ignore Invul in close combat is so beautiful.
Yeah. And do two damage. Oh, that's huge.
That is fantastic.
She'll kill a Smash Captain. Like, Smash Captain comes in, she's like, get out of here, bye. Oop, dead.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like the Kaladin. She's always been kind of the, if you could make it work, the Kaladin would swing a game faster than just about anyone, even back in the heyday of the Kalexis. But yeah. I never would have put her that high, so I'm surprised.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, it's no question. And like, her pistol does mortal wounds very reliably. So like, even a tough character, anything that's like T5 and above, that's not where she shines. But most characters are T3, T4. Like Guard, Space Marines, Gene Stealer Colt, she wrecks
Eldar.
Eldar, it's not even fair against Eldar because they usually have a shitty armor save and they rely on their invul save, and she's just like, pop, dead.
I mean, even Chaos Soup with their sorcerers and all their psychic support, those guys are not that the squishiest, but still can be taken out.
For the most part, you're not really going to see a lot of characters that can really handle that Kaladin toe-to-toe.
No, it's she just aces them like nothing. It's crazy.
Well, you brought up Broadside Bash, and you know, you were more than a little bit successful. Like, congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, no big deal.
Why don't you break down your brigade? I understand you took Talarn.
Yeah, if you go back, I've always said I think Talarn's the best of the regiments. And of course, that's not objective. That's just my opinion. And I've been saying that forever. And I've always played Catachan because my models are Catachan, and I've had a Catachan army since second edition. So I've always played it, but I decided, I was like, I want to mix it up. And I had my mind on a Talarn list. I played a couple practice games with it. It was really good. And so I brought a Talarn brigade. Pretty straightforward. It's a company commander. I give him the dagger of two socks so he can outflank with an infantry unit. And then, of course, you can combine that with the Talarn stratagem to outflank three units, including one unit of vehicles. So I could put five units coming in from any table edge, which is one of the big parts of it. I take two Lehman Russ tank commanders. One of them has the relic battle cannon from Vigilus. That's flat three damage, and that thing is stupid, stupid good. Like, ridiculously good. I take another one with a Punisher cannon, six infantry squads, nine Bolgrin, Astropath, Priest, three units of 10 veterans with plasma guns, and they use them to outflank. A unit of two Hellhounds that also outflank, Rough Riders, a Sentinel, and three mortar squads. Kaladin Assassin, I summon an Assassin, and then I take Inquisitor Greyfax, and she is amazing. I don't know why more people aren't using her.
Yeah, she truly is great. And I think before we started recording today, you let me know that your tank commander with the relic battle cannon one-shotted a knight. Is that right?
He didn't one-shot a knight. He did 18 wounds to a castellan in one shot.
Jesus.
To kill it. Yeah, to kill it. So why he's so good is he hits on threes. And so Talarn infantry can move in advance and shoot normally, right? So their infantry squads are like Eldar. They're running around blasting you. Their tanks ignore the penalty for moving and shooting heavy weapons. And then their custom tank order is that they can move before or after shooting. So I was behind a building. I would move out, shoot, and then go back.
Super sexy.
And then if you take... Oh, yeah, so you can't be shot back. And if you use old grudges as the warlord trait and you pick like a castellan, you're rerolling failed wound rolls. So he's hitting on threes, wounding on fours with a reroll. And if you roll hot on your number of shots, he's shooting like potentially 12 thunder hammers with rerolls to wound at you. So it's crazy strong against knights. He single-handedly killed three knights over the course of the tournament.
Wow.
And he only died once.
That's super potent.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't mind if I steal that.
Why do I have
I have a feeling we're going to be seeing a lot of those pop up. They're ridiculously good.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, the Relic Battle Cannon was one of the things that jumped out right as soon as Vigilus dropped. I've been a fan of Talarn for a very long time in this codex, but I always felt that Cadia was just the mathematical better choice, especially if you were going to do heavy tank spam. But Like the Wind is ridiculous. I entirely agree that it's a great order, and I'm not surprised that a man of your talent ran wild with it.
Yeah, Cadia and Catachan are mathematically superior, but the thing is, like, the master of the game wins the game in the movement phase, and Cadian tanks are straight up, no question, better damage output, right? It's obvious. However, in a game, in a meta, where a Castellan will delete two of them with, like, by farting on them, you can't have your tank sit there in the open expect it to live.
You gotta hide behind the LOS.
And that's what makes Talarn tanks good, is because they can move into range to shoot and then move back, or ideally move into cover. And like, I can outflank the Punisher if I need to with Talarn and just keep him off the table, right? If I don't have anywhere to hide him, put him in reserve, and then he'll come on and he'll blast you with 49 shots and kill all your screens. So it's mm-hmm. the flexibility and the mobility that, in my opinion, makes Talarn the best regiment.
And you didn't want to go all in with the Dagger of Tusaq?
Well, I did, because I would keep a bunch of all my veterans with plasma guns and the company commander and all that stuff. They would always outflank, and they just pop up wherever you need them. And then when you have a crap ton of veterans showing up with, you know, reroll ones to hit plasma, they do work. And there's so many of them that even when they shoot you back, they might kill one or two units, but then the survivals will run around and continue to blast people. I've had them just the veterans clear out people's whole backfield.
I have one question tailed with another one here. My first question is, how did you enjoy your Bulgrins in your list? And then as a follow-up question, you know, Broadside Bash traditionally has, at least in previous years, been, you know, a little bit more unique. They didn't run, you know, they would usually have their own custom missions or slight variations of what we would normally see at events. Did they have custom missions? And if so, how did that affect both Bulgrins and your greater army as a whole?
So the Bulgrin, in my opinion, are one of the top, maybe even the best, or one of the best units in 40K. Every time I try to play Astra Militarum without them, if I play against a really good melee army, I just get run over. And Bulgrin are ridiculously tough, and they hit ridiculously hard. So they allow you to push up the table with guard, which normally you can't do. Play very aggressively, go take the middle of the board, and anything that comes near them, they're going to beat them up. And if your opponent's going to kill them, it's going to take them the whole game to do it. They're so stupidly good. They're ridiculously good. You always want to buff them with a psychic power, either plus one save or minus one to hit, and then have a priest around for an extra attack. And that unit, it's ridiculous. Like, again, with old grudges, they'll beat the shit out of a knight. They'll kill Mortarion. They'll kill Magnus. Like, there's very few things that can come into them in melee and survive. I had six kill Mortarion.
Oh, my God. That is potent.
Hot damn.
They're ridiculous. They're ridiculous.
Well, they're swinging. Essentially, they're swinging autocannons.
Exactly.
Correct?
And with a priest on the charge, they have five attacks each. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So they hit harder than most characters, and there's nine of them. And then, you know, they have a one-up armor save or a three-up invulnerable save with the power. And in shooting, they can go to a zero-up save, right? So super-duper good unit. And to your specific question, Alex, Broadside Bash has gorgeous terrain, but it's some of the tables don't block line of sight almost at all. And that's why I brought an army that I could keep units off the table, and the units that were on the table were really durable. So the Bulgrin were like mission. They were like all-star unit. Every single game, when I played a knight player, they took a gallant, full gallant charge to the face, and like they only killed two of them. Yeah, because a three-up invul save, you know what I mean? And then you have
three-up invul,
and then you have a reroll. Plus, I had I took old grudges against the gallant. They beat the shit out of him in combat.
Wow, they're the great equalizer.
Yeah, totally. Every single one of my opponents was like, God, what do I do against them? I was like, stay away from them.
Your knight's a lot faster than him.
And it was so funny. It was so funny because every time people shot him, I was like, yes, waste those shots. Because when I play the Castellan, he unloads the Castellan into him and kills one.
I mean, the only real way to deal with them is mortal wounds or anything like psychic powers that do mortal wounds, or any gun that just bypasses that impulse save, I have to think, in shooting. Because
the only, that's the only way to kill them, or just move block them. Like, just throw something in front of them and slow them down.
Yeah, because they are not the fastest units in the game, nor, am I correct? IG doesn't have an ability to move them that fast.
Yeah, they only move six. No.
Yeah, nor can they unfortunately can't be ordered. Like
they, no,
or they would be...
That'd be ridiculous. If you could fix bayonets
they would,
them...
Oh, it would be so insane.
Yeah. They trundle up the table, but it's no big deal because all my characters and my infantry go up with the Bulgren, and I'm like, go ahead and come over here. Like, bring it. See what you got.
Jeez. Well, they didn't...
Yeah, so the army just moves up, takes the center of the table, and then all my units come in from all the other angles to grab objectives.
That is quite the little maneuver you got there.
It works really well. Yeah, it was... I mean, obviously, it worked really well for me. I went undefeated, but...
Well, out of all your games, what would you say your hardest matchup might have been?
So, I was in control. Like, to be fair, though, I had the wind at my back. Like, I definitely had luck with me. I drew favorable matchups. I got, you know, tables that were good for me and all that good stuff. So, I did get luck, but that's what it takes to win a big event. You have to have luck on your side. My hardest game was against my teammate Junior. His list is so nasty. Three knights and two guard brigades. And he has the Emperor's Wrath Artillery Company, which I have 130 models in my army, and he's got double shooting, ignore cover wyverns, and like, what, six mortars? I was like, oh boy, this is going to be rough. But
buckle up.
When the Gallant bounced off the Bulgren, and then my vets came in and did 16 wounds to his Crusader, I knew I had it. And then my mortar teams were just killing his infantry, and my Hellhounds were killing his infantry. I took away his ability to get back in the game, and I smashed the Gallant, and then I was able to kill the Crusader with the tank commander. All he had left was his Valiant, and even though that thing's really dangerous, it just wasn't enough to get him back in the game. And then my last game against an Orc player was rough. The shock attack gun was doing some work for sure, but again, the Bulgren saved me. They just ran up the table and smashed everything. Gaz held him up and got him down to two before he died, but he couldn't recover after that.
Wow. Well, Gaskell is one of those units that you kind of would, it would be a perfect, you know, mutual tar pit there.
He does flat three damage and he has a 2-up save. So every time he got through, he was killing a Bulgren and he gave him feel no pain. So if he rolls that 1-6, it eats a whole attack. So yeah, it was good. It was a fun game. It was really good. And then again, the tank commander with the relic battle cannon is also really good at killing infantry because he has 2d6 shots and three heavy bolters. So he was just,
I mean, I can
also
imagine how that would be an excellent Primaris Marine killer with the flat three damage.
Fucking, you name it, Custodes, Necrons.
He is stupid good baby. For the points. Like, and then one of those stratagems they get is it's like Overwatch, a reroll Overwatch, something like that. And so you do that with defensive gunners. Now you're hitting on Overwatch on a five with a reroll. like it's more accurate than normal shooting.
That's a problem when it's guard.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Jumping in on the, I was going to let you guys have all the fun, but I want to jump in on the tank commander with the Talarn special tank order. You can move five, take your double shot, and then move at the end of it again another six.
Yep. Or you can move.
And that's really how you blow a knight
away. Or you can move before you shoot if you need to get closer and it doesn't take away grinding advance. So with the Punisher, sometimes I would move forward, move again, and then double shoot to get him into range.
Yeah, that 24 inches does kind of, it is one of the few restrictions on that.
Yeah, I experimented with all of them. It makes the Demolisher a lot better too, because then you can get into range. And then the Plasmacutioner, I was having some fun with that. But I kind of boiled it down to those two as being my favorite.
So the Plasmocutioner, were you having the same problem that I've had constantly of it just keeps killing itself?
Yeah, and like when you look at it, there's just no reason to take it. You just take a battle cannon with plasma cannon sponsons. Like there's the battle cannon is just better, right? You lose one AP, but you get better range and you don't hurt yourself when you shoot.
Especially the relic battle cannon, which is that set 3 damage is gorgeous.
Yeah, it makes a dramatic difference.
Oh, like, absolutely.
You shoot a knight and you're like, I got 8 shots and I did 7 wounds. You know, it's like, okay, you got 4 through. How much damage? I'm like, 12. They're like, what? You're like, yeah.
But no. It's not D3.
No, D3.
No, there's no D3 here. You're half dead. Congratulations.
If he shoots a normal vehicle like a Ravager or something, they're fucking dead. He just gone.
Oh, this is music to my ears, man. I've been out for a while just taking a break and, you know, reassessing where I am at from a gaming perspective. And I don't want to say that I'm just going to copy paste, but I mean, I can't lie. You want to play what works.
Yeah. And like, if you're like me, if you're a guard player, like I've been a guard player since second edition, I want to use my god dang Lehman Russ tanks. Like that's the main battle tank of the whole freaking army. I want them to be good and I want them to use them. And I want, you know what I mean? And that's, so it's like, I was just like trying to find a way to make them work. And I've seen Cadian tank commanders, but they just get blown up. And the Talarin ones, especially with decent terrain, they're really good. You get so many more turns of play out.
The extra mobility, the ability to shoot and then hide, very much Ninja Tau not Ninja Tau, but very much the ability to constantly quick fire and fade. It's a very potent combo, especially with good line of sight blocking, as you do in many, well, in many ITC events or that you guys run like BAO or LBO.
Yeah, you should. 8th edition is not fun if you don't have good terrain. It's just, it's not meant for that. Like I when I played the Castellan player, we had no line of sight blocking terrain. It was a shit ton of terrain. It was gorgeous, but there was nothing taller than like a Bulgrin.
Oh God.
In the middle of the table. Yeah, and I was like, oh my God. So like the only reason I didn't get blown off the table is I got all my units into combat so we couldn't shoot them. And my Lehman Russ had this little tiny, tiny little building that was exactly Lehman Russ size.
How convenient.
To hide behind. Yeah, I was like, oh. It was funny because my opponent had the choice to choose his deployment zone. He's like, man, I should have chose that side. I was like, yes, you should have.
Oh, wow. All right. That's something to look for, guys. Make sure in a planet bowling ball to never give your opponent the Lehman Russ size LOS piece of terrain.
Yeah, because the Castellan would have just killed him in one shot, oof, like no question.
That's what I kept running into when I was running tank heavy with Pask, is he's just a bullet magnet. And that's even with stacking the -1 to hit and the +1 save, it just isn't enough.
No.
Them having a 3-up just isn't enough, unfortunately.
It's not. And that's why you don't see them that frequently. And then the other piece of tech, quote unquote, I can't believe I'm saying that now. For kids and their weird words. But in a knight heavy meta, Greyfax, Inquisitor Greyfax is stupid awesome because she not only gives you leadership 10, she has 2 Deny the Witches at +1. She can shoot Psykers even if they're not the closest unit, and her gun does 3 damage against Psykers, and it's rapid fire. And she rerolls hits and wounds against Chaos and Psykers. She has a psychic power that totally flew under the radar. She can make a character within 18 inches shoot one of its guns or make a melee attack. Almost every knight in the game is a character now. So I was making knights shoot their own dudes.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how other people I was reading it and I was like, what? How is nobody using this model?
Hold on, Vince. I need to order something online.
Oh man.
I heard Alex gasp in actual I wasn't sure.
No,
that was
I would love to see
shock.
The look on someone's face when you're like, oh, that missile, like that Death Strike missile or that whatever Castellan missile, you only have 2 of them. Well, I'm using one of them now.
Fuck that shit. I'm just going to use your big gun and destroy something else.
Yeah. You're like, your super plasma gun. Okay. We're going to overcharge that and shoot your really important unit right next to them. They're like, what? You're like, yeah.
Oh, by the way, you're also taking these mortal wounds right now,
and
too.
She can just,
oh, my God.
Exactly. Yeah. It. She's so.
And she can just march up right behind the Bulgrins, right? I mean, if she needs to move up, that's the perfect screen.
That's crazy.
Yeah. She just runs behind the Bulgrin and she has 5 wounds. She has a 3-up save. So she, if she's in cover, she's got a 2-up save. So even things like a Vindicare aren't that scary.
That's dirty. I don't think I've ever looked at Grayfax for more than about 10 seconds.
Mama mia.
Yeah, I know. And it's, she's a gem. Like, it's a hidden gem in there. And the other fun one too is if you combo her with the Calyxus in a psychic heavy matchup, the Calyxus makes you -2 to cast, and then she's +1 to deny.
Right.
So when somebody tries to get the critical warp time or, you know, whatever, you are all, it's like extremely high probability that you shut that down.
Right, because with the -2 and the +1 to deny, it's just such a potent combo.
Oh, that's
the dice are going to be on your side. Plus, with the ability to just like pick and choose someone to shoot themselves is just gorgeous.
Yeah, and the leadership 10 is amazing, because I've 60 guardsmen just running around, and someone's like, oh, I killed 6, and I'm like, yeah, I'm probably fine. Like, what? You're like, yeah, I'm leadership 10. Oh, I rolled a 4, I'm fine. You know, like.
Yeah, I know, that's a valid point. I mean, leadership 10 is so clutch, especially with a 10, you have nothing but 10-man units running around, so you have to destroy the majority of the unit anyway in order to force a morale check for people to flee.
And then you lose less models if you do exceed the number.
Oh, well, yeah.
It keeps models on the table for a lot longer.
Yeah, which is what this game is all about. Have more models than your opponents hold those objectives.
I just love that combo of you know, that kind of suite of rules that Grayfax has. Then she's very much a get fucked Eldar kind of unit.
Yeah, it's just there's a lot of the main meta lists right now are have critical psychic powers that they need to get off to do their trick. Like Jinx or Doom, whatever, Warp Time, Death Hex. Like, these are the critical powers. And if you can stop that on the important turn, like if you can stop them from Warp Timing Morty or whatever on the critical turn, and then he's left with his dick in the breeze, you're going to win the game. Right? Unless you just completely crap the bed on your dice, you just won the game on that one.
I mean, yeah.
Like, double, you know, using Quicken on their Shining Spears, and you're like, oh, nope, not going to happen. And then they're just sitting there. You're like, yeah, you're fucked.
So all this leads to the important question, Reese, and I feel like there's not going to be too much doubt about it. Apart from Drukhari and Orcs, if you had to rank those three, is Guard the best solo codex in the game?
I think you can make a really, really strong argument that they are. Because I took pretty much pure Guard to the London Grand Tournament last year. I went 5-0. They have everything that you need. Like, they have, you could take a brigade. You could take like 2 brigades if you wanted to. Their stratagems are super underrated. They have really good stratagems if you take advantage of them. They have stupid good psychic powers. Go back and read Psychic Maelstrom. It's one of the best assassination powers in the game. And nobody's using it. And great troops. They have indirect fire, which is super important. Yeah, Guard, single codex faction Guard. If you play to their strengths, you can take any army on in the game. No question.
Alrighty. Well, Vince, does that mean we're going to be seeing an appearance from your Guard list relatively soon?
Well, I was planning on, you guys know I planned on going into an event last weekend, and circumstances prevented me from going. Yes, I do plan on coming back. However, I'm an idiot, and I plan on bringing about 36 Death Riders.
Why?
Well, first, you gotta get them. Remember,
because they look awesome.
They do. Plan this to Larn and outflank all of them. Oh, they can outflank. They can already outflank, can't they?
Some of them can. Yes, the elite choice ones can outflank even as Death Corps.
Nice, because I know Rough Riders automatically outflank. That's correct. Why I take them.
Yeah, I noticed them. People started to run units of, you know, 1 or 2 units of 5-mans, even just the regular ones at toughness 3 with a 5-up. And a year ago, I found that really curious.
Yeah,
Brandon, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, buddy.
They listen to me talk every week. You're here once, you know, for the first time. Take over.
I was going to say Brandon Grant had a unit of them in his ITC/LVO winning Guard army. Yeah, it's 50 points for a unit that is quick, relatively tough, hits pretty hard in combat, but most importantly, you bring it on turn 3 wherever you need the most. If they make the charge out of reserves, cool. If they don't, who gives a shit? At that stage of the game, often your opponent doesn't have the resources to deal with them. and then they're charging on turn four, taking an objective away from your opponent. They're just they're really good for winning the mission.
Oh man, now I'm regretting selling all my old school Rough Riders.
Yeah, you done fucked up.
Well, I still have some, but not like the full 20 that I used to have.
Well, like he said, that's a fantastic strategy. Just being able to wait till the very last moment that you can even bring them in to just, here's three separate units that you now have to focus on. Two-thirds of your army's dead. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, and they're each only 50 points. They're fucking amazing.
They fill out the brigade really nicely, and they look cool. Sentinels, too, are fucking – they're so good. Mm-hmm. God, they're good. The pregame scout move and the fact that they're relatively resilient. All the time, you take objectives, you charge somebody's unit on turn one before they get to shoot. Now they have to leave combat. They can't shoot. They got to deal with this little bastard that's in their face. They're guard of a good choice in every single slot, like multiple good choices.
And with Sentinels, do you generally run the new hotness when they dropped was that they were going to be, you know, heavy flamer, but are you a member of the autocannon hunter killer missile group, or what is your preferred?
I use heavy flamers on my Catachan Sentinels because they get to reroll and they actually do a lot of damage. For Talarn, I'm switching to multi-lasers because they're cheap and they ignore the penalty for moving and shooting. So it's the cheapest way to fill your fast attack slots, and they're ultra useful units. For Talarn version, like, don't expect them to kill anything, but who cares? That's not the point.
Right.
They're there to grab objectives and to be a pain in the butt for your opponent.
It is interesting that the Sentinel switched from something that you brought three of and kind of as a light vehicle removal device back in the day to now basically being one of them for the minimum points for a very – and, you know, they're just flank objective grabbers.
And they fill out the brigade. Right. Yeah.
Which is super
cool. That's what they're there for. But they're awesome. They're so good at it.
Well, then when all is said and done, taking a look at your list and the success that you had with it, where do you think the fat is to cut? You know, if you were to do Broadside Bash all over again, knowing what you know, what would you change to your list?
So for Battle for LA, which is coming up in 2 weeks, cool event. I think they have some space if anybody wants to go. It's by the TFG Radio guys. I'm going to drop the Hellhounds as much as I don't want to because I love them. I love the idea of a flame tank is just so cool to me. They just don't do enough damage. I think that they should have like 3d6 shots that would make them a little bit more appealing, but that's just wish listing. I'm going to drop those, and I'm going to switch the Rough Riders for three units of Scout Sentinels. The only reason I'm dropping the Rough Riders is because I absolutely want another company commander, and the only way I could do it was by freeing up the points in the fast attack. So I'm taking three Scout Sentinels with a multi-laser. I'm going back to the Execution Force, so one of each assassin, and I'm taking an extra company commander because the 60 infantry on the table, if I would have been able to give them orders, they would have been dramatically better. So much better. So I'm willing to make some sacrifices, even though I would rather have Hellhounds. I'm sorry, Rough Riders than the Sentinels. I just didn't have the points to fit it all in.
Well, Reese, we're coming up on that deadline that we set, and we don't want to keep you from joining the rest of the 21st century and catching up on Game of Thrones. So thank you, sir, very much for joining us tonight. You are welcome back, of course, anytime you wish.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, guys.
Bye.
Well, we're very grateful for Reese to joining us for the first time, and we look forward to bringing him back in the future. For Alex, Michael, and myself, let's go ahead and check out, gentlemen.
Yeah, don't scrub out. That's all I got to say.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.